This evening I'd like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture that I think would harmonize with what I endeavored to preach on today from Hebrews chapter 1 about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save His people from their sins. And this passage is in John chapter 16 and verse 28. Jesus would say this to His disciples, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." That's a profound statement. In theological terms, that's high ground. If the Bible was a series of mountains, this would be right up there with Mount Kilimanjaro. Listen to it, beloved. Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Now this verse would plainly teach us that Jesus Christ was with the Father in heaven before He came to this earth. Jesus didn't start His beginning at the virgin birth. He was with the Father in heaven from all eternity. Now He says, "I came forth from the Father." And I want to notice with you in John chapter 14, an expression that Jesus gives us concerning His work as our Savior and our Redeemer. Let's, not John 14, but John 17. Jesus, beginning in verse 1, says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father." Now He's come from the Father. He's now on this earth. Notice again our text. "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." So here in John chapter 17, Jesus is in the world and He's praying to the Father. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." What did He mean by that expression, "the hour is come"? That's an expression you'll find a lot in the Gospels, and it almost always has reference to His death on the cross. The hour is come. The hour for which all other hours were made. Here's the focal point of all time. The hour is come. Notice. "Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." What is Christ talking about here? Asking that the Father would glorify Him with the glory that He had with Him before the world was. Well, in Scripture, Jesus Christ is described to us as the Lamb of God. You remember those references? He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I think it's always been interesting to me that shepherds were the first ones to come and see Jesus in the stable. He is the Lamb of God, and he is first revealed to shepherds, not to the great Pharisees in Jerusalem, not to the Sadducees, not to the scribes, not to the highly educated and the rich, but to poor shepherds tending their sheep. Jesus, you remember the angels appeared to the shepherds at night and called them to go to Jerusalem. And the Bible says they went immediately. So he's the Lamb of God. Now, a lamb would be slain. Lambs had been sacrificed for centuries in Israel under the law. But before a lamb would be taken to the slaughtering house and slain, he would be sheared of his wool. What is the glory of a lamb? It's his wool. Beautiful white wool. Now you take the wool off of a lamb and what have you got? You've got a bony little critter that's not very attractive at all. His glory is gone. And then he is taken to the slaughtering house. And before Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would go to the slaughtering house of Calvary, he laid aside his glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And he came here into the world. Now let's look at our text again. I came forth from the Father. I want you all to see that tonight. I wish I had the ability to really explain that to you all in words that you could understand. The Holy Spirit can help us understand it. Jesus says, I came forth from the Father. Now my question tonight is this. We know God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. The Bible tells us that. He's omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. He's everywhere present. How can anyone who is everywhere present go anywhere? I was down at the camper a little while ago. I'm not down there anymore. I'm up here. If I got in my truck and drove down to Cochrane, I'd be in Cochrane, but I wouldn't be here. I can't be in but one place at a time. God is everywhere present. So how can somebody who is everywhere present go anywhere? The only way I could understand this is that Jesus Christ took on our human nature. I come forth from the Father. That's what I think he's talking about. And by the way, when Jesus Christ laid aside his glory and went to Calvary and did the work of redemption, and of course he's previewing that here in John 17. This is before he went to the cross, but he is previewing what's going to happen on the cross. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should what? Give eternal life. You and I have natural life tonight in these bodies, and it will end. But God has given us eternal life. Eternal life will never end. You know, a lot of religions say that you can be saved today by what you do and come in possession of eternal life, but if you don't behave yourself, you can slip and slide and lose it. Well, that wasn't eternal life. If you could have it and then lose it, it wasn't eternal, right? Let's say you get saved today, and a year from now, you backslide and get lost. You had 1 year life. Jesus didn't give us 1 year life. He gave us eternal life. as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many. Did you know that we know exactly how many is going to be in heaven? You said, now wait a minute, Brother Sam. How do you know how many is going to be in heaven? Because this text tells me, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's how many is going to be in heaven. The very same number that the Father gave to the Son in a covenant arrangement before the morning of time, that very same number will be in heaven without the loss of one. You and I can't add one to that number, and thank God the devil can't take one out of that number. Jesus said, as thou hast given me power. I love that, don't you? You see him on that cross, and you think, he's weak. The Roman soldiers have overpowered him. If he'd have been God, he could have kept them from doing that. But look at him. He's up there like the other two men on the crosses. He's weak. He's frail. He's not God. That's what natural eyes would have told you had you been at the cross that day. But I want to tell you, veiled behind that apparent weakness was the power of Almighty God. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I want to ask you all a question. Is there any such thing as foolishness with God? No. But it looks foolish for his Son to be up there on that cross. It does. To the natural mind, it looks foolish that the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, would allow his Son to be treated that way. It seems foolish. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Behind that seeming foolishness was the wisdom of the ages, designing and planning a way to save all of God's elect family. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Is there any weakness with God? No. But Paul is saying, in outwardly, as you look at Jesus on the cross, he looks weak. But I want to assure you that that day, on that cross, greater power was exercised than was used in the creation of the universe. The Bible says that the creation is the work of his hands. But on the cross, God rolled up his sleeve. You know, the question was asked in Isaiah. I looked and there was none to help. What was God looking for? Somebody to help save the children. He looked and there was none to help. He saw all the great characters of the Old Testament. He saw Noah. He couldn't help. He saw Abraham. He couldn't help. He saw Moses. Moses couldn't help. I looked. There was none to help. He saw all the apostles. None of them could help. He saw Billy Graham. He said, he can't help me. He saw Brother Sam. He said, he sure can't help. I looked. There was none to help. Mine own arm hath brought salvation. You know what the arm of the Lord was? Jesus Christ incarnate. The extension of God. He rolled up. The Bible says that he laid bare his arm at Calvary. You know, when you're going to go to work, If you have a flat tire on a hot day and you get out and have to change, you'd probably roll up your sleeves because you're going to work. I want to tell you, at Calvary, God rolled up his sleeve. And he used arm power to save us. Greater than the creation itself was the work done at Calvary by that little Jew on that cross. Oh, that you and I could see him tonight. I love that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died." How many of y'all just think about it through the week sometimes? Just driving down the road, it comes to your mind. He loved me. He died for me. And Jesus is saying here, "As thou hast given me power." We're not worshiping a weak Savior tonight who would like to say, I've heard preachers say that we're God's arms, we're God's hands. He's pitiful, he's in a bind if that's the case. No, he's not a weak God. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." But in order to save them, he had to lay aside his glory and go to Calvary and die as the Lamb of God. Now, I want to go with you over to the Old Testament a moment. Proverbs chapter 8. I want to read several verses here. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way." This is going to be describing Jesus Christ with the Father in eternity. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there." Who do you think that's talking about? His son Jesus. Are y'all getting this? When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with him. I was by him. I, as one brought up with him, and listen to this, and I was his, and I was daily his delight. Did you get that? Jesus is saying, I was daily his delight. I was delight of my Heavenly Father. How many in the house tonight have children, and your children are your delight? Your grandchildren, your delight? You love them. You delight in them. Well, I want to tell you, God the Father delighting in his Son Jesus. I was daily his delight. There was never a cross word between the Father and the Son in all eternity. He was present when the universe was created. And yet, the Father loved the people in this building tonight enough to give this Son to die for us. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, that caused the Lord of bliss to lay aside his crown for my soul. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. When you read these verses in Proverbs 8, and you see how perfect the Father and the Son got along, and they enjoyed each other. We worship a relational God, a God who delights in communion and fellowship in the Trinity. And yet he wanted more than that. He wanted us. And in his wisdom, he designed the creation and has brought us into existence. And yet we fell in Adam's sin. And in order to get us into heaven, his Son had to come forth from the Father and come into this world. You know what I'm talking about to you all tonight? The angels longed to look into, and they couldn't see it. And yet sometimes we take it so casually, don't we? This is the greatest story ever told. I came forth from the Father, Jesus said. Oh, I came forth from the Father. You and I will have to wait until we get to heaven to really understand what was involved in Him coming forth from the Father. And you know, when Jesus was born, the angel said, "Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel." Do any of you remember what that word Emmanuel means, that name? It means God with us. Jesus Christ was God coming to earth, born and robed in human flesh. I want to turn with you over to Luke's gospel just a moment and notice what the mother of Jesus had to say about Him in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Listen to this. And Mary said, this is the mother of Jesus, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." There is a religion in our world that says that Mary was not a sinner, that the birth of Christ was immaculate in the sense that the woman, the Jewish woman in whose body his body took shape, was sinless. And they worship her. But Mary said that Jesus is my what? My Savior. She was a sinner just like every one of us. Yes, she was highly favored, that's for sure, but that didn't mean that she wasn't a sinner. And Mary worshiped her baby. She worshiped her own child because He was God in the flesh. I want to notice with you what Simeon had to say. Let's look over at Luke chapter 2 when Joseph and Mary brings Jesus to the temple. Let's begin reading in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," now Simeon, an old man, has been waiting a long time to see the Christ. And now he takes him up in his arms. "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." This old man was ready now to depart from this world in peace because his eyes had seen his salvation. And I want to tell you, if you're ever blessed to see it, the fear of death will be greatly reduced in your life. This old man was blessed to see this one. Now let's come back to our text here in John 16. "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." So he left heaven. He left the Father. He came into the world as a lamb. The shepherds saw him as a babe and worshiped him. And now here he is in the world. And he's poor. And he's without a reputation. And he's under the law. And now all the sins and the guilt of all the elect family are going to be laid on him. How is he going to get back to the Father? How's he going to do that? You see, I want to show y'all tonight in an illustration what I think took place on the cross. I'll use this songbook here tonight, and let's say this hand represents me, Sam Bryan, and this book represents my sins. Now, for this illustration to be accurate, it has to take a lot bigger book than this one to represent my sins, but maybe this will help. Here are my sins on me. And my sins demand that I be separated from God for all eternity. And here is my Savior. Let's say this right hand represents my Savior. And he is without sin. You see that? No sin on him. No sin in him. The Bible says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He goes to Calvary and there's nothing amiss in him. Even Pilate said, I find nothing wrong in this man. Pilate's wife told him, don't have anything to do with this just man. I was shown in a dream last night. Don't do anything with this man. Even the dying thief said to the other thief, you and I are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. Even Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. And heaven's tribunal looked down on him and saw him as perfect and sinless and spotless. He lived 33 years on this earth and never committed one sin. Have you ever lived one day without committing a sin? How about 1 hour? We're sinners. The thought of foolishness is sin. That would get me all day long. But I want to tell you, my Savior didn't have any sin. Not one sin was laid to his charge. Heaven had examined him. Earth had examined him. And the declaration was, he's perfect. He's sinless. But on the cross, something miraculous happened. The judge of all the earth took my sins and laid them over here on this man. And he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Where did that leave me? Without any sin. What's Jesus going to do now? He came from the Father. He came into the world. He's poor. He's without any reputation. He's been accused of all kinds of things. He's under the law. And now he is the sin bearer. How's he going to get back to the Father? I want to tell you how. Because he sheds his blood. The first step for him to get back to the Father is to shed his blood. Because you see, his blood was perfect. I could shed my blood for all of you tonight, but it wouldn't do you any good as far as getting you into heaven. Everybody in this house could shed every drop of blood you got in your body tonight for me. That wouldn't get me into heaven. There was only one thing on this planet that could get God's children into heaven. And you know what that was? It wasn't gold and silver. You could take the gold of this planet, and the Bible calls gold and silver precious. You know, Peter said, you're not redeemed by such precious things as silver and gold. Silver and gold is precious among men as a commodity because God made it, and governments can't counterfeit it. I'm telling you, our government right now is just printing money like crazy. Have y'all got your stimulus check yet? They're fixing to send out more and more stimulus checks. The government can just print, they can just punch buttons and just create money out of thin air. Of course, what it's doing is devaluing the money you already got. But they can't counterfeit gold and silver. That's God's money. And the Bible calls it precious. But if you took all the gold on planet Earth tonight and multiplied it by 10 trillion times, it wouldn't get one soul into heaven. Gold couldn't redeem us. Silver couldn't redeem us. Turn the stars into heaven. Turn the planets into gold. And give it all to God for one sinner, and it wouldn't get you into glory. But flowing in the veins of Emmanuel is precious blood. And when that blood is shed, the wrath of God was satisfied. How many of y'all believe that? At Calvary, God unsheathed the sword of divine justice and plunged it into Emmanuel's body. And I'm telling you, that blood satisfied the wrath of God for all eternity on behalf of His elect. So the first step for Jesus to get back to the Father is He had to shed His blood and He had to die. You know, people have asked the question, wait a minute, Brother Sam, if the blood of Jesus is what saved us, why didn't He just shed a pint of blood and not have to die? But you see, the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. And when He gave His blood, He gave His life. He died. He died one death for all of us. Now, the second step to get back to heaven, He's got to die. The third step is He's got to come out of the grave 3 days later. Did He do it? Amen. 3 days later, He arose. And let me tell you, He went back to the Father. And someday He's coming back to this earth. Not to a shameful cross. He's coming back in all of His glory. And in Hebrews chapter 2, we read what He's going to say on that day. What is Jesus going to say to the Father when He comes back and gets all the elect and glorifies us and takes us up there? What's He going to say? Father, here am I and some of the children You gave me. Come on now, y'all been around Old Baptist long enough to know I misquoted that. If you didn't, you need, I've got to do a little more work here tonight. Jesus is going to say, Father, here am I, and all the children You gave me. He's not going to lose one of them. We have a glorious Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Is that song in this hymn book, Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'd like to sing that if it's in the book. If it's not, we'll find another one. 136. I want you all to really pay attention to this song tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we truly, genuinely thank You for Your unconditional love of us and for giving Your Son that You delighted in to take our place on the cross. We are here tonight to worship and praise and adore You. Please accept our offering of praise tonight. Bless us as we sing this song. Bless us with understanding. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.